worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our phone guest in just a moment. But as we start off, we invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 24. First off, chapter 24, verses 11 and 12. It tells us these words of wisdom. Deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? In verses 11 and 12, Proverbs chapter 24. Then looking at Proverbs chapter 31, starting in verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him, what my son, and what son of my womb, and what son of my vows, do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless, in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Verses 1 through 9, Proverbs chapter 31. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that your word is an anchor for us in every part of life. Your word, that which keeps us in place, that helps us to walk with you day by day. But thank you for the fact that your word is a guide, and it's a means whereby we can know your will and walk in it each and every day. Father, more and more open our eyes to come to better see that your word is radically guiding us just to follow you, just simply to be faithful Christians, day by day, listening to your word and walking in its obedience to it. Father, we commit your word into your hands, and Lord, help us to grow in our love for your word and help us to read and meditate on it more and more every day. And Lord, help us to be faithful as parents and grandparents to teach and train and encourage our children to do the same, to fill their hearts and their minds with your word each and every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're grateful to have as our phone guest today is Sylvia Johnson. Sylvia is the director of not just one, not two, but three pregnancy clinics in Houston, Texas. Sylvia, how are you today?
Good evening, Pastor Parker. How are you?
Oh, doing very well. Very good, very good. Thank you for joining us. And I would mention
it's good to be here.
All right, grateful. I know you have a grateful to have you on. I know you have a busy, busy schedule directing the clinics that you direct, but I had the privilege of first learning of you, and actually you were the speaker at a workshop a few years ago at a CareNet conference, and that's when I first learned of you and the great work that you're doing there in the Houston community. So as we start off, could you just share with our listeners a little bit more about yourself and tell them how you got involved with the great work of the Ministry of Pregnancy Clinics?
Well, I'm going to share as briefly as I can that I was very active in my local church. Mm-hmm. And I realized that in my church, what something happened. One of the young girls that I was mentoring in my church became pregnant. And at that point, the members of the church began to ostracize her, not really on purpose, but you can kind of see that she was treated like an outsider. And she was a young girl, a teenager, and was pregnant, and I was trying to find a place to plug her in my community. I had never heard of pregnancy centers. I didn't know anything about them. And in my search, I realized that there were abortion clinics, like three, in my very own community, but there wasn't a place that this young girl could go to for support and encouragement, Christian support and encouragement, in our very own community. Well, that began to prick my heart. And I just went before the Lord. I was working, and my husband, who has since passed away, he was, all was well. We were Christians. Our friends were Christians. You know, we were on our way to heaven, and we were so glad, and didn't realize that just a couple of miles from where we live, there was an abortion clinic that was offering women in crisis the horrible tragedy of abortion. So that's prompted us to pray about it, And I can say that has been 32 years ago, and I'm still loving every day, passionate about what I do, grateful for the call that God has placed on my life, and that I'm living out my purpose in helping women in unplanned pregnancy situations.
Okay. And so basically the Lord led you to start one of the clinics and then a second and a third. Is that basically how that happened in your life?
Yes, absolutely. I am originally from Orlando, Florida. So we started one in Orlando, and that was 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it is so funny because I didn't have a model of a pregnancy center to use at the time. And being a housewife, all I had was a coupon booklet in my purse. Well, I wrote, remember we used to cut out coupons, remember a long time ago? Well, I wrote to all those companies, and they began to send me items for free that I could use in educating young women about their cells, their bodies, giving birth, et cetera. My background is in accounting. So how you go from accounting into being a director of a pregnancy center, only God can ordain those steps. Mm-hmm. But I'm grateful to him for that. And so we started the program in the community. It expanded. And I have to tell you something real special, Pastor Parker.
Okay.
This past year, I had a reunion with those young ladies that we ministered to 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And 30 years ago, when you're saving babies, I don't know why I didn't think this far ahead, but God knew it. And at that reunion, I had a chance to see grandchildren. Mm-hmm. The babies that were saved 30 years ago are now parents, are mm-hmm. now married, and they have given birth to children.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more than just saving a baby. It's saving generations. It's
That's
saving
right.
families, lives, destiny, purpose. It's all about that when you enter into the ministry of the Pregnancy Help Center work.
Okay. Well, Sister Sylvia, that's powerful to really think about that side of it. And, of course, there are really many different sides that we as the church really should look at when we're looking at this topic. And so, but I want to focus on for just a minute the fact that you just simply listened to the Lord and the Lord led you to start a pregnancy clinic. And since that time, so you've actually helped to start 4 different pregnancy clinics then?
Yes, 4 or more. I stopped counting a long time ago, and I'm still helping to do that to this day. Yes, we opened them, and they're still thriving. They're still operating in communities where the need is great. And I would say to anyone that's hearing this conversation and listening to this radio program that when that call, when your heart just you know when God is speaking to you. For me, you know, my heart starts palpitating a little bit, and I get this feeling of faith, like great faith. And I can tell you that God has been truly faithful. It's his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's his ministry, he makes provisions. I want to tell you something. The gospel of Jesus Christ will always be funded. It will always be funded.
That's right.
There will always be support to share the gospel of Jesus. And that's what our pregnancy center does. We offer women an alternative to abortion, but we also share the gospel of Jesus Christ in word and deed as the Holy Spirit presents an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So I love these little places where women can come in one way downtrodden and overwhelmed and just burdened, and just one encounter with a Christian volunteer, a lady from the church, a lady who has time on her hand, or a gentleman that has time on his hands to volunteer at the pregnancy centers. And the women that we serve, they leave the center differently because a Christian imparted the love of God to her, a word of encouragement, support, and hope. And it can happen.
That's right.
It can happen
Praise
easily
God.
Every
Praise
day.
God. That's right. That's right. Well, Sylvia, I'm going to ask if you'll do this. If you would, I want you to pray for our listeners. You know, there are lots of different communities where we broadcast into that, many of which don't have a pregnancy clinic there. And I want to ask if you'll pray that God would raise up people that will start clinics in their communities, because there are a lot of believers who may think in their minds they have no idea how to do it and wouldn't think God would ever call them. But God does want to call them to do that very thing, open up clinics in their communities, because there's so many communities that don't have them that really, really need them. Would you pray for that, please?
Yes, I would. And Father God, I thank you that you are sovereign and you already have the answer. There are communities that are barren, that need the help of a crisis pregnancy center. And I pray for that young man, that young woman, that couple, that pastor and his wife, that every fear and every lie and every obstacle will be removed by the blood of Jesus. And they will rise up and say, this day we will hear from the Lord. This day we will move forward in what God has called us to do. And no, we may not know how, but God knows how. Yes. And God, I pray that your angels will begin to minister, that you would release wisdom by your Holy Spirit, and Father, that you would be a divine Jesus. Connector, a divine networker, and connect them to us.
Thank you.
And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you then. And I'm going to just say a word of prayer as well for you as well. Father, thank you, Lord, for Sister Sylvia. Thank you for the pregnancy clinic she directs. And Lord, thank you for many believers in many parts of our nation that do the same things, have either begun or are directing pregnancy clinics. Father, raise up more and more of these centers to reach out to these young women in need or in a crisis situation who are expecting a baby. And guide the church so that more and more will recognize that this is not only what we're called to do, but we need to do it in much greater numbers and much greater effectiveness as well. Help us to know, Lord, that the need is huge and it's important that we be about our Father's business in moving forward to do this great work. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Sylvia, you know, this is another side of this issue, too. Now, you, as an African-American woman, started working in this area about 30-something years ago. You know, in my years as a pastor over a number of decades, to be quite honest, I don't run into a whole lot of African-American women that direct clinics. And the fact is, in our community, a mistake is often made to where you have people that will say, well, that's not our issue, or that's not our concern, or we have other priorities. How would you respond to those statements like that?
Well, I think it's very sad. Protecting Black Life is an organization that did an intensive survey, and that survey revealed that most abortion clinics in the United States are located in very close proximity to our African-American community. They are in our neighborhood, and I believe that it is the church's response to that is to rise up and have centers of hope, centers of truth, little centers of refuge so that women can run into those places when they find themselves in an unplanned pregnancy situation and hear truth from God's word, from God's perspective, from Christian people. I think that when I look around in our communities and I see that everybody's busy and everybody's doing so much, but one thing I can tell you about a pregnancy center, we are in the 5th Ward and 3rd Wards of Houston, Texas, because there's nothing else like it in those communities. Mm-hmm. You can find a health department that's giving away birth control. You can find an abortion clinic. You can find a GED program. You can find all those, which I'm not saying that a GED program is very good to have in the community. But can you find a pregnancy center? Can you find a house, a place of refuge for women that can go into, like I said before, when they're in a crisis and run into a woman that can tell them.
I'm going to jump in right here, Sister Sylvia. We're coming up on a break. We'll pick up right there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our guest is Sylvia Johnson. We'll be right back.
I believe one of the greatest needs for this generation is for men to be men.
Pastor, author, musician, Carl King.
Men have lost their initiative, and they're spending time in games and pornography, and the culture is vomiting this out, and many men are just sucking it up. But I think that the Word of God, and I think that our culture is asking for men to step up and say, okay, I'm going to use that manliness that God has given me. I'm going to be a provider. I'm going to be a help. I'm going to be a protector. I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to use and exploit women. By me being self-controlled and self-disciplined, I'm going to change the world.
Advancing truth, wisdom, and empowerment. UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
The only thing good when it's semi-sweet is chocolate. So why are you walking around semi-sweet and pretty close to bitter? The enemy likes to feed bitterness by aiding in our recall of times and situations where we've been hurt. The problem with constantly reliving these hurts is that with every recall, we injure our spirit all over again. Even in his correction of us, the Lord does not cast us off forever. Lamentations 3:32 says, though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Until you can truly release your offender, you are bound by an offense which the enemy uses to cause bitterness to grow. Left unchecked, this bitterness spreads to every area of our lives. Forgive from the heart as you've been forgiven. It's the only escape from the trap of bitterness. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Miki Addison. Go deeper at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Yeah, cause I'm a businessman. I said I handle my businessman.
I believe one of the greatest needs for this generation is for men to be men.
Pastor, author, musician, Carl King.
Men have lost their initiative, and they're spending time in games and pornography, and the culture is vomiting this out, and many men are just sucking it up. But I think that the Word of God, and I think that our culture is asking for men to step up and say, okay, I'm going to use that manliness that God has given me. I'm going to be a provider. I'm going to be a help. I'm going to be a protector. I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to use and exploit women. By me being self-controlled and self-disciplined, I'm going to change the world.
Advancing truth, wisdom, and empowerment. UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Fred Hammond, the song Let the Praise Begin. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest today is Sylvia Johnson. She's the director of the Fifth Ward Pregnancy Center and the Downtown Pregnancy Center in Houston, Texas, and a mobile unit pregnancy center that rolls around on wheels in Houston. Would you tell our listeners a little bit more about the mobile unit in particular and how it functions?
Okay, it's really a funny story because I did not want a mobile unit. I was thinking that the pregnancy centers are enough, but, you know, God has a way. And what happened, Pastor Parker, is one day we had a young lady that came in for an ultrasound to our facilities, and she told us that she worked down the street at the abortion clinic. Well, she began to brag on the abortion doctor in her, just innocently, you know, and begin to brag and say, well, I didn't want them to know I'm pregnant. I came down here to you guys. And boy, we're so busy down there at the abortion clinic. We did almost 99 abortions in one day. Mm. Oh, my God. Mm. When she said that, it sparked something in me. And I said, my Lord Jesus. I drove down to the abortion clinic myself and saw the line out the door wrapped around the building. Mm. And I began to pray. And I said, God, there's a way that we can answer this. If we had a mobile unit, we could park right outside this abortion clinic in the morning. Mm. We can put our signs out that says free ultrasound, because at the abortion clinic, they have to pay for the ultrasound. In addition to paying for the abortion, mm-hmm. that we would have our signs out that says free ultrasounds, our mobile unit right there on the spot, so women can, the Holy Spirit would draw women out of that line into the death camp over to our mobile unit so that we can then rescue them and get them to safety. Mm-hmm. And you know what? God has honored that. Mm-hmm. One donor gave us all the money we needed to get our mobile unit.
Praise God.
And praise God for that. Praise God. It's brand new. We've only had it in use since January of this year, and God is using it in a mighty, mighty way. And I'm very grateful for it, because there we are right there on the front lines. And then we had some flooding in Houston. It was national news. We were able to take that van into the areas that was hardest hit by the floods mm-hmm. in Houston, and deliver diapers and other toiletries to women with children, baby wipes and baby clothes, so that they would be able to just have a few goods living in when they were in the shelters. Mm-hmm. So God used the van in that way as well, and I'm just grateful for it. We can go all over the city now and try and save a baby and share the gospel mm-hmm. all over our city.
Hmm. That's powerful. That's powerful. Well, now, tell me, Sylvia, like, can you just tell our listeners, like, if when a woman comes to the clinic, whether it be the standing clinic or the mobile unit, what exactly does she go through from the start to finish in terms of her time when she comes into one of the facilities?
Well, when she comes into one of our facilities, number one, we don't look like a clinic, a real sterile environment. It's very beautiful, very relaxing, and very common. Mm-hmm. I am purposeful with who I have greeting her at the front. Someone very kind, very nice, very quiet and soft would greet her to try and relieve her of her crisis. She then completes a form that says and explains exactly who we are. We never lie to our clients. We never tell them that we will do an abortion for them or anything. We tell them the truth. We tell them that we don't do abortions. What we will do here is a free pregnancy test, an ultrasound, a confirmation of pregnancy. We have case management, infant clothes, baby items. We pay for the first doctor visit for a lot of our patients. We refer them to housing areas. We assist if they have addictions or drugs. We have a psychologist, a Christian psychologist on staff that will meet with them if they have any other background issues that they're having difficulty dealing with. Mm-hmm. We do all of that at the pregnancy center, and mm-hmm. all of those services are free. We don't mm-hmm. charge for anything. And one of the most important ministries we have, Pastor Parker, is our ministry to young men. Mm-hmm. When they come in with the young girls, we don't leave him behind. We minister to him as well. We inform him about fetal development and abortion risk and procedures, so that he will know that as well. There was a recent statistic that said 65% of the women who have abortions are being forced by someone else or mm. talked into it by someone else, and it's really not her decision. So it would be unfair for us to leave that young man in the lobby waiting while we service her. So we service the young man as well.
Mm. Okay.
And then when the women decide to, after the ultrasound, we have what's called a grace closet, and everything in our grace closet is by His grace, and local churches supplies the grace closet with everything brand new. We don't give away any used items at our pregnancy centers. Mm-hmm. They still have the tags on them. Yes, mm-hmm. sir, we do that. Because, you know, God is good to us. Mm-hmm. God is good to us individually, and we want to extend that to her. We want her to know there's a body of believers, there's a church in this city, there are Christian people who believe in her and would love to help her, and we can supply her with enough supplies for the first 3 months that her baby is here. And we're not perpetuating poverty or becoming a handout. We also assist with the child support application as well. Praise the Lord. Yes, we do. We do that as well.
That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. So all of those are steps that once she steps in the clinic, she goes through. And you said all of these are free.
Everything is free.
All these services.
The pregnancy test, the ultrasound, everything is all of our services are free. Mm. Everything, our case management service, everything is free. She doesn't pay for anything and will always remain that way.
Right.
Yeah, it will remain that way.
And, you know, Sylvia, it's something that's so powerful is you see this to where pregnancy clinics, by and large, they function, you function on individual and church donations or just that's pretty much what largely funds many of them, right?
Absolutely. We depend on the community and donations from individuals that will support us on a daily basis. And yes, we need the support, the financial support. I'm sort of laughing right now because when you think about what it costs every month to meet the budget, and every month God meets that budget, you know that it's just a miracle. I don't care what anybody says. I know that God is faithful and He's good and He's true. And I'm just grateful that we are where we are doing the work that God has called us to do.
That's good. That's good. And it's powerful to think of that over against the way abortion clinics happen, because I recall on one occasion a few years ago stepping into one just for the sake of getting information, and they said a basic abortion started at about $400. If it's the baby's a little further along, $500. And can go up to at least sometimes $2,000. And plus, they get huge amounts of money from the U.S. government as well.
That's true. Not only that, there's a foundation in Houston that if you are a minority, if you are African American or Hispanic, there's a grant that you can apply for that will pay a portion of your abortion. And they tell me that this money comes from this is what Abby Johnson said, that Warren Buffett is the one that's funding Planned Parenthood with millions of dollars. Now, I don't know if that's true. Like I said, I heard it from someone. I don't know. Have you heard that as well, Pastor Parker?
Not that particular statement, though, but, of course, I am very much aware of the fact that the figure is just shy of $2 million that they get from the U.S. government every day. But the funding comes from several different sources to fund Planned Parenthood. Plus, they make a whole lot of money all by themselves on tragically killing of babies, too. So, sadly,
too
well funded.
And I want to let you know that our pregnancy centers are located within walking distance of the largest Planned Parenthood freestanding in the United States in Houston. Mm-hmm. We are 3 miles from that Planned Parenthood. And just 2 blocks from the abortionist that I mentioned earlier that was doing 99 abortions a day in our city. So we're located in some really hot spots, and that's where we're supposed to be. And praise God for that. We see an average of about 170 women every week.
Wow, that is a huge...
Every week.
Well, so
every week.
I guess one of the issues, of course, is the fact that you're in Houston, Texas, a huge city, but at the same time, too, just a very, very busy pregnancy clinic. Now, if a listener wants to learn more about your work in ministry, or if they want to maybe send a donation, or just want to learn more about how to pray for you, your ministry and the pregnancy clinics, where would they go to get more information about your work?
Our website is HoustonPregnancyHelpCenter.org.
Okay.
Or Sylvia at Houston Pregnancy Houstonpregnancy.org.
Okay. Repeat both of those one more time, please.
HoustonPregnancyHelpCenter.org or Sylvia@HoustonPregnancy.org.
All righty.
My email.
Okay. All righty then. Now, Sylvia, tell us about your church. How supportive is your church of the work that you do and the work of the pregnancy clinics, the particular church that you happen to be a part of?
I'm very grateful. I attend Connecting Fellowship Church in Houston, Texas. Mm-hmm. My pastor is Pastor Vernon E. Hubbard, and they are very much supportive. It's a very small church, but they are very supportive. My pastor supports us financially, personally, as well as the church gives on a regular basis to what we, to our ministry. And also, members of our church also volunteers. I had one lady to say that she loves it so much because she has an opportunity to come into the pregnancy center and share the gospel. Mm-hmm. She said it's like catching fish in a bucket because they come in, they're there, they're waiting, they're ready. Mm-hmm. They are ready to hear the gospel, mm-hmm. and she feels very free to do that. And that's important that the church realizes that, you know, we attend church on Sunday mornings and we get full on His word. Well, the pregnancy center is a place that you can volunteer to take that word and share it with those that are in need of that word. Mm. Most of the women that we see in the pregnancy center does not have a church affiliation or a church home, the ones that we are servicing. And that breaks my heart because they're about two generations removed from any type of church connection.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And that's a sad statement for where we are today. You know, that's just kind of unheard of because I think about my grandmothers and my aunts and how important church was to my family growing up and as a young woman, that now I'm seeing young ladies that come in that has no connection at all mm-hmm. to Jesus Christ or to a church. And we need to change that. We really do need to change that our communities.
That's right. That's right. Sylvia, would you take time now to pray for persons that are listening who there may be some women, some young ladies right now that may be in a crisis pregnancy situation and have never heard of a pregnancy clinic, don't know what they do, don't know the kind of ministry you provide, and some of them may need to be saved, some of them may just recognize they're in need of help. Would you pray for those persons that they would seek the help that these centers provide?
Yes, Father God, as Pastor Parker has mentioned, there may be women listening that's in a crisis or unplanned pregnancy right now, feeling overwhelmed and not knowing what to do. She was in a place to hear this program today, and I pray, Father, that you will give her the courage to call, the courage to go to the website, the courage to text, so that she will know that she is loved, that people do really care for her, that we are here for her. Father, I pray for communities in this city, and cities all across this nation, that you would rise up, people who will say enough is enough.
Yes, Lord.
And will have a heart to begin this great work. I pray that people will have an openness for pregnancy centers in their communities, in their churches, in their community centers. Father, you can do this through whoever is willing to be used by you. All you need is someone to say yes. And I pray, Father, that that yes person will rise up and say, yes, I'm ready today to be used of God, to know more about this work, and perhaps start a pregnancy center in my community. I pray this, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Sylvia. I appreciate that. Our guest is Sylvia Johnson. She's the director of the Fifth Ward Pregnancy Clinic, Downtown Pregnancy Clinic, and a mobile unit in the city of Houston, Texas. Sylvia, on the other side, I wanted you to share about the recent Supreme Court decision, so we'll pick up there on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
What's going on? It's your man Sean Tanner, and you are in the field with the track stars Ryan Righteous, Sean Tanner, and DJ Jeremiah. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and be sure to tune in to the Track Stars each and every Saturday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. Log on to www.trackstarsradio.com or download our app available on iTunes and the Android market to get our podcast. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and Track Stars Radio. Let's go!
Family is an institution set forth by God, one man and one woman for life, with the outflow being children produced by that union. It's obvious to all that there is an attack on the family in our country, and especially on fathers. Whether it's the cycle of sin that persists in our families or the pressure from our government to exclude men from being intimately involved, the strategic battle is on for the souls of men. Join us in the battle to strengthen fatherhood. UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
When we measure ourselves against the Ten Commandments, Dr. Tony Evans says most of us don't even make it past the first one, where God says, "You will have no other gods before me." He'll tell us how to turn that problem around today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
You're going down the highway and you discover, I'm going south when I ought to be going north. I'm wrong. To say I'm wrong, I'm going the wrong way, you have not yet repented. What you've done is acknowledge your sin, confession. Repentance is getting off, crossing over, and going back. You've not repented until you've reversed. Now, there's only one thing you repent of in the Bible, and that's sin. And that explains everything. So many of God's people are living in spiritual rebellion, not because they're necessarily doing some overt popular sin. God is just no longer first. The only purpose God tells us to repent is to restore relationship and limit consequences. That's not just, I'm sorry, that's adjusting the schedule. That's deciding, yeah, I'm gonna get up 15 minutes earlier so that I spend time with God, or block out some time during the day when I'm alert and awake to give some time with God. I am going to prioritize this. I'm going to restructure this. Now you have repented. And God is calling us to repent. To repent of what? The sin of putting me in any other place but first. That's sin. Change directions. Get off at the next exit. Don't just be discussing, I'm going the wrong way, let me keep driving.
If you've never asked God to take over first place in your life, forgive your sins, and give you an eternal future through Jesus Christ, visit us at TonyEvans.org and click on the word Jesus at the top of the page. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Some days are weary.
Some days weary,
and you can't see your way.
And you can't see your way.
Some nights are lonely.
Some nights are lonely.
With no one to say.
With no one to say.
You can make it.
You can make it.
It's only a test.
It's only a test.
You can take it.
You can take it.
And don't you think?
And don't you think?
So wipe the tears from
so
your eyes.
The tears from your eyes.
Here's the reason why.
The music of the Mississippi Mass Choir, He Can Handle It. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our guest today is Sylvia Johnson. She's the director of the Fifth Ward Pregnancy Center, the Downtown Pregnancy Center, as well as directs a mobile unit in the city of Houston, Texas. Sylvia, you know, one of the things I think of as we begin our next segment, before we address the Supreme Court decision, I want to ask if you'll comment on this. I have the privilege of serving on the board of a pregnancy clinic, and a lot of people don't realize, just as you've alluded to, There's a lot of evangelism, a lot of discipleship, and a lot of pastoral ministry that happens at most any pregnancy clinic in most any community. Would you comment on that a little further?
Yes, absolutely. There are always opportunities for your gifting to come into the pregnancy center. Whenever people come to the center and they say, I want to volunteer, I want to serve, I ask them, what is your gift? What is your gift that you want to share with those that are in need of our services? What is the gift? The gift could be pastoral care, as you mentioned. It could be a nurse. It could be I'm an advocate. I know how to raise funds. I can do this. Your gift will make room for you at the pregnancy center. And I encourage people to pursue that and to just go to the pregnancy center and volunteer. Volunteers make up about 90% of the pregnancy center staff and what we do. We could not do it without volunteers. So please, volunteer today. Even if it's for 2 hours a month, those 2 hours are worth gold to a pregnancy center director. And I know I'm speaking from experience.
Amen. Amen. And so every single listener, I would encourage, if you don't know where the nearest pregnancy clinic in your community is, you really need to find out where it is. And find out not only for yourself, but also get information to bring to your local church, because lots of churches don't know where the closest one is. And the fact is, the work that they do is so important that sooner or later, most every church is touched by it, because most every church may have a young woman who finds herself in a difficult pregnancy situation. So it's important for every church to become informed about the great work that these ministries do. Now, Sylvia, I want to ask if you'll, at this point, comment on the recent Supreme Court decision that came down from the Supreme Court. Now, I would mention this, that you have a unique perspective in that you are the director of a pregnancy clinic in Houston, Texas, and Texas is the state that was obviously most directly affected by that decision. Would you comment on that recent Supreme Court decision?
Well, I want to just tell you that women lost on Monday when that decision came down. Women deserve better than walking into an abortion facility that does not meet the basic health code like any other surgical facility. That law was not about preventing abortion access. It was about keeping women safe, requiring such as the hallways in the abortion clinics to be wide enough for a gurney, adequate lighting for the invasive surgery procedures that they perform, enough hand sanitizer stations for the doctors to have admitting privileges at a hospital within 30 miles. All of those were just common sense, healthy, safe regulations for women, but our Supreme Court let us down, and they turned that part down. And it just grieves my heart. But I can tell you this. There was another part of HB 2 that was passed in Texas a little over a year ago, which prevented abortions beyond 20 weeks. I can tell you from firsthand experience at our pregnancy center, that law has saved hundreds of babies. As a matter of fact, just last week, a 14-year-old came into our facility. Her mother was distressed, as any mother would be when their 14-year-old is expecting a baby. And their first thought was, we need to terminate the pregnancy. Well, the young girl was 23 weeks along, and that's what that law, that HB2 law, is what prevented them from terminating that baby, and that child is alive today. As a matter of fact, that young girl has decided to place her baby for adoption. One more thing I want to say while we're on the radio. Families, please register with adoption agencies. If you African American families, please do that if you can. Please open up your home to a child. We're saving the babies from abortion, but when these young girls go to the adoption agency, there are no families that look like us, that are like us. And we need to change that. We need to have more families. And if one church could sponsor one family in their church to adopt a child, we can make a dent in this horrible, horrible abortion numbers among African-American women that we're experiencing today.
That's powerful. That's powerful.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And we can do that. We can do that as a people. Mm-hmm. We used to do it in mm-hmm. my grandmother days. Someone would take that baby in and
That's
raise
right.
that child.
That is exactly
right. But now,
right.
yes, I'm telling you, yes. So we need to start making changes in rescuing the children and helping the mothers as much as possible.
Okay. Well, Sylvia, our time is drawing to close, but we've got about another 8 minutes or so. But before we conclude our time, I want to mention this, that, you know, there's several different topics you touched on that really the church community needs to become so much better educated on to understand just the different sides of the issue, understand that it is a critical part of a need in our community. So the education is important all by itself, too, though. But what would you say would be some things that you would, as the director of Pregnancy Clinic Ministries, what are some of the most important things you'd like to see happen in the church that would move them to get involved with supporting and working with the work of pregnancy clinics?
I would like for a church to adopt the pregnancy center, that they would adopt the pregnancy center and the men would come to the pregnancy center and minister to the young men, and women would come and minister to women. They would give a baby shower for the pregnancy center. They would have prayer over the directors, like myself, someone mm-hmm. to come in and just pray with me and intercede for me on a day-to-day basis. Is a blessing from a church. That churches, like I mentioned before, would sponsor a family that would adopt a child, that mm-hmm. we would have more families available for women who choose to not to terminate, but what should I do next? What do I do next? Mm-hmm. I'm looking for a family that will raise my baby and love my child, a Christian family, and that's what we as a church are supposed to do.
That's right.
That, of course, prayer is important. For a church to intercede for the entire pregnancy center, the staff, for the donors, and to give financially, mm-hmm. to sow monies in, because we need funding, we need support, to support a local mission. And we're very good at overseas missions, which I support as well. I'm an advocate for that. But let's support the local missions as well. Charity begins at home. Let's do it right here at home. And also spread it abroad.
That is.
So those are a few suggestions.
Well, I appreciate you sharing those specifically. And you know, I would challenge every single church listening, every individual, whatever church you're part of, again, make it your business to get involved in some way or another, reaching out to the local pregnancy clinics in your community or in your area, because every church can help raise money to help support this wonderful work. Every church can send volunteers, and those are just a few of the things, Sylvia, you've alluded to, but there are many other things. Again, praying. There's so much spiritual warfare that happens around every pregnancy clinic and every abortion clinic as well, and the prayers of God's people make all the difference in the world. Anything else that you would like to ask our listeners to pray for you and the pregnancy clinics you oversee by any other specific prayer requests you'd like to mention?
Well, it's a personal prayer request, if that's okay.
Okay.
I am getting married this year.
Well, congratulations.
Yes. And December of this year, so I request your prayers for me and Anthony as we start our new life together. It's interesting when a pregnancy center director gets married. So mm-hmm. just continue to pray for us.
So he's going to have a brand new ministry that he doesn't know much about probably as he gets rolling into it, right?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe his ministry. Maybe.
We'll see, huh?
Maybe. Maybe, alrighty. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're both excited about that. We really are.
Praise God. Praise God. Now, any other stories that come to mind of clients that really stand out, that really would remind us of the great need for us to really support the great work of pregnancy clinics in our last few minutes? Anything, any other stories that come to mind, testimonials that are?
I tell you, stories walk in the door every single day, and I can tell you, and to see how God moves, not all the women are 13 and 14 and teenagers. Some of the women are 53 and 54 years old that mm-hmm. come into the Prices Pregnancy Center. Mm-hmm. So I tell people all the time, it's not just teenagers. They run from 13 years old to 54 years old, and mm-hmm. they're in a crisis pregnancy, and they all need what we have as believers. They all need a listening ear, compassion, empathy, and someone that can tell them truth. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to share truth with women in unplanned pregnancy situations.
Mm. So women from the age of Mary in the Bible to Sarah and all in between then, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Sister Sylvia Johnson, and thank you, Lord, for the Fifth Ward Pregnancy Clinic in Houston. Thank you for the Downtown Pregnancy Clinic in Houston. Thank you for their mobile unit as well. And Lord, thank you for all the churches that are supporting and working with this great outreach. Lord, anoint each pregnancy clinic with a fresh and mighty anointing. And Lord, raise up more and more churches that will come alongside them to really help them carry out the work. And Father, anoint Sister Sylvia afresh with vision and wisdom and grace to be the director you have her to be. Anoint her as she prepares to get married. And Lord, bless their marriage. And Lord, use the marriage to help further this great, great work as well.
Yes,
give her and her husband just the vision and wisdom to move forward to continue this great work. And Father, raise up more and more churches in every listening community and beyond to really either come alongside pregnancy clinics that already exist. But Lord, I pray that you'd move upon those churches in areas where there aren't any to pray about starting one. Lord, help us to know, Lord, that the need is so great in it. Many times when they're started in a community that needs one, many, many babies will be saved that otherwise wouldn't be saved if that ministry was not there. And Lord, help us to know, Lord, that this is the work you've called your church to. And every single believer has something they can contribute. All of us can pray. All of us can give financially. All of us can donate items that may be able to be used. Lord, so many things we can do. Help us to get on top of that and do just what you want us to do. We thank you, Lord. And we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
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 Sylvia, tell us once again, our listeners, if they're wanting more information about any or all of your pregnancy clinics, once again, share your website, please.
Okay. Our website is fifthwardspelledout.org or 713-942-2323.
Okay, then. And for the Downtown Pregnancy Clinic, is that the same website for them as well?
The same one, fifthward.org.
Okay, then. And your mobile unit as well. Now, does it travel all over the city?
All over the city of Houston.
Mm, that's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. All righty. Well, Sylvia, thank you so much for your time today. It's a blessing to have you on. And we'll continue to pray for you and your work. And we're going to pray that God will raise up more persons with a heart like the one he's given you to really reach out, because the need is huge for this outreach to be more available in so many more communities. So thank you so much. Thank you for being on the broadcast with us today.
You're welcome, Pastor Parker. Thank you for having me on. Have a great day.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. Again, our guest was Sylvia Johnson, the director of the Fifth Ward Pregnancy Center and the Downtown Pregnancy Center and a mobile pregnancy unit in Houston, Texas. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.